I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The U.S. government doesn't want dictators and their relatives hiding their ill-gotten wealth on American soil. That's the message being sent by the U.S. Justice Department. It filed legal motions yesterday seeking to strip the son of Equatorial Guinea's dictator of more than $70 million in U.S. assets. President Teodoro Obiang has ruled Equatorial Guinea for more than three decades now. His son, Teodorine, is his heir apparent. Ken Silverstein of Harper's Magazine has been following the Obiang story for a decade, most recently with articles in Foreign Policy. Silverstein says that in the 1990s, oil was discovered by Exxon in Equatorial Guinea. The country became extraordinarily rich, yet most people there live in poverty. Silverstein says that's because the president's family diverts the wealth for their own benefit.
The ruling family, it's like a mafia that runs the country. And the family steals virtually all of the energy revenues that are generated by American firms and other companies that invest over there. You know, they take a cut on everything. So, you know, it's basically a shakedown racket by a small group of crooks who run the country.
So now the United States is trying to seize more than $70 million worth of assets. What are the assets that we're talking about?
Well, what we know for sure is Teodorine Obiang used $100 million in assets. And by the way, he has a salary of about $6,000 a month. So unless he is really a remarkable saver, it's hard to imagine how he possibly would have bought a $35 million home on his official government salary. But we know he bought a home that is valued somewhere around $30 million in Malibu, California. We know he bought tens of millions of dollars worth of sports cars. We know he bought a $38 million private jet. And he also apparently had something for Michael Jackson memorabilia, like a $275,000 Michael Jackson jewel-encrusted glove from the Bad Tour, which I think was back in the 1990s. So the scope of the thievery is amazing. Beyond that, he's a social miscreant. I mean, the Justice Department's own documents say that they had heard that he was a drug user and would go on drug binges. You know, you had this constant stream of young women from escort services coming to his home. So, you know, in addition to the corruption and the theft, I mean, his personal conduct is really appalling. So he's basically come to the United States and abused the U.S. system to launder his loot. And then he goes out and enjoys all the privileges of living in the United States. But he did discover, unfortunately, this week that he's not beyond the reach of the U.S. government, it appears.
The government is claiming these assets, but I wonder what the legal basis is for trying to seize them, because he has not been convicted of anything as yet, has he?
No, this is an asset forfeiture case, but the grounds are that he is accused of laundering into the United States via shell companies about $100 million in only a very few years. So A, they're saying that he's guilty of violating money laundering laws, and B, they are charging that the source of his wealth is corruption. And I believe that the Justice Department is really to be congratulated for taking this step, but I do think that there's been some ambivalence on the part of the U.S. government, because even though Teodorine Obiang is a poster boy for foreign corruption, it's taken a long time to bring this case against him. And I do believe in part it's because you have ambivalence on the part of the U.S. government about angering an important energy ally. Equatorial Guinea emerged from nowhere to become the third biggest producer of oil in sub-Saharan Africa. So I think there are people in the U.S. government who are probably very unhappy that these cases have been brought. But government, of course, is made up of people, individuals, and there are some people in the government who apparently were determined to bring this case, and I guess at this point it looks like the people who wanted to do something won.
Ken Silverstein, contributing editor at Harper's Magazine and an Open Society Fellow, thank you.
Thank you.